Welcome to Unearthly Quests, where we travel the world in search for stories about the constellations. I am your host, Sarah Lynn, and I will be your tour guide for this quest around the world. I am back now after a brief break. I had to take a short break for the holidays and some personal time, but I do hope to upload episodes more regularly. I've made a few adjustments to the show that I think you'll enjoy. This episode's constellation will be Draco, the great dragon of the night sky. Draco is the eighth largest constellation of the sky. Though it is very large, it is actually very faint and one of the more difficult to find. The head of this dragon is made up of four stars in a trapezoid shape. The rest of its body wraps around the North Pole, sitting in between Ursa Major and Ursa Minor. It is also a circumpolar constellation, meaning it never drops below the horizon in the northern hemisphere. In mid-October, the Earth passes through the Draconids, causing a meteor shower that originates in the head of Draco. The word Draco is derived from the Latin term draconum, meaning huge serpent. This episode's word of the day is Earth Wobble, or axial precessing. This is a gravity-induced slow and continuous change of the orientation of the Earth. This means the Earth axis doesn't sit in the same place, it actually wobbles like a spinning top. It also means that the North Star changes approximately every 26,000 years. Just 4,000 years ago, when the Great Pyramids of Giza were being built, our North Star was actually called Thuban, a star in the body of Draco that sits directly between the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. Now, let's get in our chariot, pulled by our imagination, and travel the world through time. Our first stop is ancient Egypt in the year 2490 BC. We see the Great Pyramids of Giza. They were just finished being constructed. You see them new and shining white on the desert, a vast contrast to what they look like now. The white casting stones they were plated with back then have been eroded away, but looking at them now, you see them shining brightly, and they are beautiful. Let's look closer at them and compare them to the sky above. You see that one side is geometrically aligned with Thuban, the North Star at this point in time. The opposite side is aligned with the Belt of Orion. These pyramids were built as monuments to the great pharaohs, and when a pharaoh died, they believed that they would enter the heavenly realm through Thuban, where they could join their fellow gods. This was because Thuban was thought to be the nail to the heavens, as it never moved and was the single unchanging point in the ever-changing heavens. The rest of the constellation of Draco was seen as a hippopotamus or crocodile. They were like the dragons of ancient Egypt, as they were so fierce and dangerous. Even though they are herbivores, when provoked, the hippo becomes extremely aggressive. They can outrun a human for a short distance, can upend boats, and will maul its passengers with their powerful jaws. Though they are extinct in Egypt today, they still kill more people in Africa than any other large animal, and decimate crops with their enormous appetite. Maybe this is why the ancient Egyptians saw a hippo in Draco, the fierce animal, meant to guard Thuban from those not worthy of entering the heavens. Now, let's turn our chariot northward toward ancient Greece, where we once again meet the great heroes Hercules fighting through his 12 labors. The dragon was his 11th. This dragon's name was Ladon, and he guarded the golden apples in the gardens of Hesperides, the nymphs of the evening and golden lights of sunsets. This apple tree was actually a wedding present to Hera from the Hesperides when she married Zeus and sat on Mount Atlas. Ladon had 100 heads and was a child of the monster Typhon and Echidna, who was half woman, half serpent. Hercules' task was to steal one of the golden apples from the tree. In order to steal the apples, Hercules asked Athena, the goddess of war, and they spoke to Atlas, the Titan who was punished by Zeus for his part in the Titan War to hold up the heavens. They asked Atlas to steal the apples while they held up the sky for him. Atlas, thinking he could trick them into holding up the sky forever, accepts the mission. But when he brings back the apples, Hercules slips the sky back onto the shoulders of Atlas and completes his 11th labor. Later on, Athena is attacked by the dragon. She grabs Ladon by its tail and flung it into the sky, wrapping it around the pole where the dragon remains in the sky as the constellation of Draco. Let's keep traveling north to Scandinavia, the land of the Vikings. The constellations that are known to us of Norse mythology came from the Prose Edda. The great tree of life Yggdrasil is represented by the band of the Milky Way, and at its roots sit Nidhogg, a great monstrous serpent gnawing at its roots. At these roots of the tree is also the realm of Nasrand, where the most evil of the Norse society go when they die. Those who are guilty of murder, rape, and oath-breaking are among the worst. You can imagine this great serpent is a horrifying sight to see. It is thought that when Nidhogg arrives on Earth, it is the beginning of Ragnarok, the Norse story of the pending apocalypse. Let's travel now to ancient Mesopotamia, now Iraq, and visit the Babylonians. The Babylonians saw this area of the sky as Tiamat, the goddess of chaos and the salt sea, and was usually represented as a serpent or dragon. Tiamat began as a salt sea and was in a war against the sweet sea Abzu. Their waters mingled to create the gods. During this war, Tiamat attempted to appease Abzu and stop the conflict. In this attempt, she is convinced by lesser gods to seek revenge instead, and creates an army of monsters. The hero Marduk comes along and defeats her with his evil wind, then kills her with an arrow. Marduk splits her in two, creating the heaven and earth from her body. She is represented in the sky in the Serpent of Draco. Now, let's take our chariot back to our own time and look at what we see in the modern-day constellation of Draco. This constellation contains at least 9 stars, with planets orbiting them. The brightest star in Draco is Gamma Draconis, and is 154 light-years from our solar system. This star is sometimes called the Zenith Star, because it is very close to the point directly above London. Draco is also home to the Cat's Eye Nebula, a planetary nebula about 3,300 light-years from Earth, and is one of the most complex nebula ever discovered. You can also find M102, a spindle galaxy, and the Draco Dwarf Galaxy, which is thought to contain large amounts of dark matter. Draco is home to many more galaxies, being such a large constellation. We return home now and dismount our chariot, but let's keep looking up. This month, Venus is at its greatest illumination, reaching the peak during pre-dawn on February 12th, near the constellation of Sagittarius. On February 16th, we see the full moon, known to the indigenous Anishinaabe people as the suckerfish moon, or to the Miquagizis as the bear moon. To Europeans, it is called the snow or hunger moon, as it is near the end of winter when food is scarce. A great way to find out what is in the sky at any given time is to use an app called Stellarium. Stellarium shows you the night sky from wherever you are at on Earth, and you can view even future and past skies as well. I know this is a short episode, and that is because stories of Draco the dragon were a bit hard to find. If you would prefer longer episodes, please send an email to me at unearthlyquests@gmail.com and let me know. Maybe next time I'll combine 2 constellations into 1 episode. But if you prefer these shorter episodes, I would like to know that as well. You can also find me on Instagram at Unearthly Quests Podcast. Each episode, I give out arbitrary star points. With 500 star points, you can call yourself a star apprentice. At 1,000 star points, a star master. And at 5,000, a constellation wizard. For listening to this episode, and because I took such a long break, you've received 153 star points. If you found Draco in the sky, 54 star points. For subscribing to this podcast, 27 star points. If you leave a review on your favorite podcatcher, 46 star points. Spotify now allows reviews, and 5-star reviews really help me out a lot. Thank you for listening, and until next time, remember, the only dragon in your life is in the stars.